thank you guys for checking out the Big 12 Spotlight online at KUSports.com. I am Eric Sorrentino, sports copy editor for the Lawrence Journal World, and we are here in the News Center in Lawrence. I have a very special guest with me on this edition of the Big 12 Spotlight podcast. We are guest today, Scott Wright. He is the OU Oklahoma basketball beat writer for the Oklahoman in Oklahoma City. So, Scott, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem.
All righty. Well, Scott, we're going to talk a lot about OU hoops, and the reason for that is because they are regarded, and they're supposed to be pretty darn good next year. Just we'll leave it at that. Rivals.com, their preseason prediction, they have Oklahoma in the top 10 in the nation. In fact, number 7 in the land. So, Scott, why do you think that Rivals came up with that ranking and have the Sooners ranked that high?
Well, I think that a lot of Rivals.com's opinion of the Sooners is based on potential. They really like Blake Griffin, and rightfully so. Rivals also, if you look through the recruiting rankings, they're one of the highest services as far as ranking OU freshman Willie Warren, who has just gotten on campus here within the last month or so.
Of course.
Willie, kind of a point guard / combo guard, whatever you want to call him, is a really enjoyable kid to watch, kind of a highlight machine. But Rivals, as I said, really likes him. You pair him with Blake Griffin, that inside-out combination.
Sounds pretty good.
I think
for next
year.
Yeah.
It really does, and I think that's a big part of why Rivals thinks that they have that top 10 potential. After following the Sooners through last season, when they get to the second round of the NCAA tournament, I certainly think that the addition of Willie and some other added depth is going to at least take this team to the Sweet 16. And after that, you never know what can happen, depending on how the bracket falls for you, what kind of matchups you get. They could be the kind of team that could make a run at the Final Four if everything falls right.
Now, and of course, OU, a team that advanced to the second round of the tournament last year, certainly higher expectations this year, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But I want to go back to Willie Warren for those listening who aren't exactly familiar with Willie. He's regarded as one of the most anticipated recruits in Oklahoma basketball history. Went to the same high school as former Kansas guard Keith Langford in Fort Worth and North Crowley High there. So a definite factory coming out there in Fort Worth. But Scott, you've seen him play a couple times. Can you compare him to anyone, or what kind of what should Big 12 fans be anticipating from this kid?
Boy, as far as comparisons, it's hard to really think of anyone that he compares really well with. He's not the natural point guard that a Derrick Rose type kid is.
Right, exactly.
Obviously, that's a really steep comparison. I mean, he's not a guy. He's not going
to
be the
number
one pick. Yeah, he's not going to be the number one pick in next year's draft.
Right.
I'm not trying to put that kind of picture in anybody's mind, but Willie Warren is a kid that can really kind of do it all. He can shoot the three. He can drive. He sees the floor really well and can pass. He kind of learned later on, as a senior year kind of went on, that he has to try to play a little bit of defense too, which wasn't always something that he was real big on, but he's athletic enough to play defense. Oklahoma's going to ask him to play the point. He's in the neighborhood of 6'2 or 6'3, even though
okay.
some of the recruiting services might list him at about 6'4. Having stood next to him, I can tell you he's not quite 6'4, but he's close.
Right.
But he's a kid that can just jump out of the gym. There was an all-star game here in Oklahoma that pit Oklahoma all-stars against Texas all-stars.
Okay.
He came in and won the slam dunk contest before the game. He jumped over three of his teammates and dunked
three
the ball.
Three of his teammates?
Yeah. Yeah. And,
man.
So he didn't even skim
anything. Just a clear landing and everything,
yeah.
Huh?
Cleared all three
no
guys.
And so
he won the dunk contest, then turned around and scored 41 in the game, even though Texas ended up getting beat. But he's a real dynamic player, especially on offense. He'll be the kind of guy that even if he doesn't have a great game, he's probably going to put up a highlight or two that you're going to see on the evening news.
Right. A couple of top tens in his future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like he sounds like an incredible recruit. I wanted to kind of go feed off that in terms of, I talked about this a little with you earlier, Scott, in terms of the buzz in Norman, because of course everybody knows about OU football and they're supposed to be great again this fall. Great expectations there. Basketball's a little farther away. But usually, especially for a town that's all about football, what's the buzz like? I mean, is there any buzz at all right now about the basketball team?
You know, there is, and it's kind of rare for the excitement to be generating around the basketball team the way it is right now. Obviously, okay. Football is still king down here, and it's most likely always going to be that way. And football is still getting all the attention that it normally does. But basketball has a little bit more excitement. A big part of that being the signing of Willie Warren, you know, a national top 15 recruit, and also Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is a kid that you know, he and his brother, both Oklahoma City kids, that grew up with you know, their dad is a pretty well known high school coach around Oklahoma City. You know, these fans have been watching this family, especially Taylor and Blake, for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years as they're coming up through high school.
So
they're real familiar with those guys, and for Blake to have the phenomenal freshman year that he did, that's obviously generating a lot of buzz. You know, him deciding to come back for his sophomore year was a really big deal to these
people.
So, you know, kind of, you know, the homegrown talent that's got a chance to be, you know, one of the top picks in the draft next year. There's a lot of excitement there. You know, you might even kind of compare the buzz around OU basketball to kind of what for some of your readers up there, what Kansas is experiencing with the football program.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Great
because
point.
Because there's so much you know, as far as expectations and excitement around the basketball program that is always there. And then when the football team puts together a good year,
right.
You know,
it kind of
builds on. It's able to build on what the basketball program has, and that's kind of working in reverse for Oklahoma. Right.
I think that's a great comparison. And you mentioned Blake Griffin. You know, of course, a bit overshadowed in terms of the Big 12 last year because of Michael Beasley, in terms of just how huge Beasley was in the Big 12 last year, but. I mean, you're talking about a guy in Blake Griffin who played through numerous knee injuries and everything like that and still put up respectable to pretty darn good numbers. How good do you think this guy truly can be next year if he stays healthy?
You know, the health is going to be probably the biggest key.
Okay.
He had a torn MCL in one knee, torn cartilage in the other that required surgery.
Can you imagine playing him that? I mean, just,
yeah, no kidding. It's And so he's going to have to obviously be able to stay healthy. And, you know, he's never going to be the kind of guy that puts up the crazy kind of numbers that Beasley or Durant does. He doesn't have the range to go out and shoot the ball the way that those guys could. But if he's able to put together, develop his, you know, 12 to 15-foot jumper, which is probably the biggest weakness in his game right now, if he's able to kind of develop that, which is the main focus of his summer workouts, if he puts that together, he's going to be a really dangerous guy. He's a guy that, you know, with his big body and his athletic ability, he's always going to get a lot of rebounds. He had
average 9.1
for his freshman season. That's counting the big zero that he had in the 5 minutes he played at Kansas before that first knee injury, which obviously happened up there at Allen Fieldhouse.
Right, so he's certainly close to a double-double per game with two
he's really going to be in that neighborhood.
That's pretty insane, definitely. And you take let's take a look real fast at the Big 12 South, particularly for next year. You know, of course, OU is predicted to finish at the top. Just going straight off this rivals ranking, three Big 12 teams have made the top 25. You have OU at 7, Texas at 14, and Kansas at 16. Now, I wanted to focus, you know, like I mentioned, on the South and Texas. It would surely seem to be an OU-Texas battle for next year. Texas just lose DJ Augustine, really, and they return everybody else. So do you think that's a good – is that how you see the rankings, Scott? I mean, how do you feel that OU and Texas is going to kind of play out next year?
Well, you know what? I think that the biggest thing it's going to come down to is whether or not OU can play well enough in those games to overcome the experience that they don't have. Because
exactly.
Texas is
right.
a team that's been there on a regular basis for the last few years. And even though, they lost Durant from 2 years ago, Augustine from last year's team, but you still got Abrams, you still got Damian James,
exactly.
Justin Mason, who's a serviceable guy on the wing, and you know, guys like Gary Johnson, some other young guys coming
right.
in there.
Exactly. I think is Atchley back as well?
Yeah, Atchley.
Okay. So yeah, they returned
well, so.
just, just everybody.
Yeah, they really do. They really do have everybody back. If Augustine hadn't gone pro, I think that you'd be looking at them as as national title contenders.
Without a doubt. But
so I think that's gonna play a large part in it. I think Texas is gonna be hurting from the absence of DJ Augustine, who I think I think he was a little bit underrated in what the people around here thought of him. I think he's going to have a really successful NBA career.
I would definitely agree with that.
And so we'll see how that goes. But I definitely think it's going to come down to, it'll probably end up that they each win at home, and then it'll come down to whatever they do against everybody else.
Right.
But it'll be a really fun rivalry to watch, I think, this year.
Oh, I totally agree. Now, finally, we have, of course, the OU-Kansas matchup for all the listeners out there. Kansas. Oklahoma is going to be a great game next year. I believe it's going to be in Norman. Is that right?
Yeah.
Next year. Okay. So that'll be a great matchup. Any storyline that you can kind of pick out from that? Obviously, KU losing all five starters, bringing back Sherron Collins and Cole Aldrich, plus a bunch of recruits. Bill Self going out and having a great recruiting class. But it's going to be in Norman. So what are you looking at in that matchup?
Well, that's the really interesting thing. If you look at the OU Kansas matchup under Jeff Capel the last 2 years.
Right.
2 years ago, it was in Norman. OU was a far inferior team to what Kansas was putting on the floor. Kansas gets out to a big lead, and then Oklahoma makes this crazy run at the end of the game and ends up making it a real close ball game at the end. I think it might have even been a two-point game in the final score. And then OU goes to Lawrence last year. Blake Griffin goes down 5 minutes into the game,
exactly.
and speakers who were – who are significantly better than they were a year before, just get blown out of the jail.
It just got worse, right? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think this might be the first year that OU has a significantly – I mean, I don't know if they're going to field a better team, but I would think that, they might be favored in this game, and this might be the first year that Capel might be able to get them over the hump.
Yeah, I definitely think that's possible. Blake Griffin is going to be really fucked up. Being a kid that's from around here, he understands the aura of Kansas basketball, and he would really love the opportunity to beat them. He knows he pretty well knows that this is college, and this will be his last chance, probably.
Sure.
Outside of a Big 12 tournament game, to beat Kansas, so he'll be very motivated for that
very
game.
Interesting. It will be, and the rest of the Big 12 North looks rather weak for next year. So you obviously expect Kansas to be there every year, and who knows how that one will play out. It should be very interesting. Well, that's about all I had, Scott. Anything else about OU basketball that you can think of today?
The only thing I would say is to keep an eye on Ray Willis. There's a lot of talk about Billy Warren. Ray Willis is a 6'6". He's a real skinny freshman. He's 6'6", only weighs about 105 pounds, but he's a kid that I think not a lot of people know about him now, but he could be pretty well known within the next couple of years.
Absolutely. Another name to keep an eye out for. A lot of talk on Warren, but then, Jeff Capel it seemed that he's really had an effect on this OU program, bringing in recruits that have not been seen in Norman, maybe ever. So we will see how that shakes out. But, Scott, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for tuning in to the Big 12 Spotlight online at kusports.com. We will come to you next time. Thanks so much.